David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy or love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Nathan Stone, in his book Names of God, writes this about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. He said, "No designation of Jehovah has brought more comfort to the heart or sounded sweeter to the ears of the saints of both Old and New Testaments, ancient and modern, than this beautiful expression. It has dried many a tear and dissipated many fears. It is the mold into which the faith of countless saints has been poured." Scholars believe that David wrote this psalm late in his life because it has the ring of full experience to it. It has the ring of a faith that had been tested by trial and trouble, and a life that had been moderated and blessed by passing years. And David looks back over the rule of his life. He thinks back to those troubled years when King Saul pursued his life, and over the years of his own reign, of kingdom expansion, of wars and of victories. And he looks back over his own life and the sin of his life, the blackness that was there. And the one constant David had found throughout his life was the constant of the loving kindness and mercy of God. And as he looked forward to the years ahead, he could say with confident faith, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David is the one who introduced us to the name Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. He was the first, chronologically speaking, to refer to God in such a way. Following his writings years later, the prophets, remembering that image of God, referred to it again and again and again, referring to Jehovah as the shepherd of the people of Israel, the shepherd of the flock of Israel. Shepherding was not one of the things that your children wanted to grow up and be. Shepherding was not a vocation that was held in high esteem in the ancient world. If you'll remember the story in Genesis, when Joseph is about to introduce his family to Pharaoh, he gives them instruction and says, "When you go in and Pharaoh asks you, 'What do? You tell Pharaoh, 'We tend cattle.'" Why, Joseph? Because shepherding, he says, is an abomination to the Egyptians. And apparently it wasn't held in too high esteem by the Israelites either. Whenever Samuel goes to anoint the next king of Israel following Saul, he goes to the house of Jesse under the inspiration and direction of the Spirit. And as he gets there, he looks at the first son of Jesse and he says to Eliab, "This must be the one." God says, "No, he's not the one." And so the second son, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, God says, "None of these are the one." And so Samuel is not understanding what's going on here. God had sent him there to anoint the next king, and here are the sons of Jesse, and not a one of them is it. And he said, "Do you have another son?" "Well, yeah, we've got the least. We've got the runt of the litter. We got the one that's out tending sheep." Samuel says, "You fetch him, and we won't sit down until he gets here." And when he walks in, the Spirit of God says to Samuel, "This is the king of Israel." shepherding was not something held in high esteem in the ancient world. Isn't it interesting that what the world despised, God was willing to become for us? A shepherd. David begins by saying, Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. David, what do you mean, you shall lack nothing? Give us context to that. He says, well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep won't lie down unless two things are absent: hunger and fear. You cannot get sheep to lie down in green pastures until they have eaten their fill, until they have been satisfied, and until they are confident in the care of the shepherd and have no fears about them. Then they will lie down. And David is using that imagery to say that God has satisfied something in me that nothing else in this world was able to. If you know anything of David's life, you know he tried just about everything. And he was saying that there is nothing that satisfies my life like Jehovah my shepherd. I am confident in the protection of Jehovah. I am satisfied by His presence. Therefore, I can lie down and rest. And he says, He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep were frightful animals. They wouldn't eat drink from waters that were noisy and running. And so the shepherd's responsibility every day was to find a pool, a spring of quiet water so that the sheep could refresh themselves every day. David says, that's what Jehovah does for me. Every day of my life, I find a time when I can stop and drink from the refreshment of God's presence. And I guess the question I have this morning is for us, how long has it been since you stopped and drank in a quiet place from the refreshment of God's presence? In this harum scarum, fast-paced life that we live in, I wonder, do you stop and drink from the refreshment of His presence daily? David says, He restores my soul. I wonder, as he wrote those words, if he thought back to that blackest moment of his life following the sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. I opened back up Psalm 51 this week and reread it again and again. And I see a king who is hurting because of the sin of his life. And the one thing he is seeking more than anything else is the restoration of his soul. David had found in the blackest moments of his life that one of the qualities of Jehovah Roi was that He would restore us because of His loving kindness. Sheep had a tendency to wander off. They were pretty ignorant animals, and they would not make a conscious decision, I'm going to leave the shepherd. They just wouldn't pay attention. They just wander off, sort of like we do. David found in his own life, he had a tendency to wander from the path that God was leading him in. And he said, the one thing I remember about Jehovah is that He always restores me as a part of His shepherding role in my life. Do you need restoration this morning of soul and spirit? You come to Jehovah Roi. He is the one who restores the soul. David goes on to say, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, the shepherd led his sheep. He didn't drive them, he led them. He would lead them to paths out to pasture. He'd lead them to paths out to still waters where they could drink. And David noticed that following the shepherd Jehovah Roi, that he always led them in paths of rightness of relationship with Him. And he did it for His name's sake. In congruency with the reputation of God, He leads us to righteousness. The pronouns change at verse 4. He's been talking about Jehovah. Now he talks to Jehovah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. David, the shepherd boy, remembered the times when he had led the sheep from one pasture to another. And sometimes that meant leading them down through the crags and the ravines where the predators hid that would have fed on his flock. And David had taken the shepherd's crook, sometimes called the staff, sometimes called the rod, and he had fended off the enemies of the flock. And he says, I remember the times in my life, God, when you did that for me. David had been close to death on many occasions. And time again, the protection of God had blessed him. And he said, the things that you have done to ward off the enemies of my life, I am so thankful. And I don't fear anymore walking through the valley of the shadow because I know everywhere I go, you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. It was the practice of the ancient world for an army to come in and surround a city and cut off the food supply. Food couldn't get in, food couldn't get out. When they had eaten all the food in the city and the people began starving to death, many times they would just open the gates and say, we surrender, without even a battle being fought. David probably had used some of that in his own warring escapades. And he says, knowing that practice, even surrounded by my enemies, I notice that Jehovah prepares a feast for me, surrounded by my enemies. And he offers to me the honor of hospitality of one who's had oil poured on his head and his cup is overflowing. The abundance of Jehovah's blessings keep on flowing in my life. Brothers and sisters, maybe the enemies of your life and mine aren't the same as David's. Maybe not physical enemies that were trying to take his life, but you and I sit surrounded by enemies today. Sometimes the enemy is lust. Sometimes it's greed. Sometimes it's envy or jealousy or anger or rage, resentment. Those enemies sit in accusation against us. And David reminds us that as we come to Jehovah Roi, our shepherd, he feeds us at his table. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we come to be treated with honor and respect by the shepherd God of Israel. And the blessings of our life continue to overflow. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. It wasn't uncommon for the shepherds as they led their sheep to have sheepdogs behind to make sure that the flock kept up and kept following him. He would be out front leading. The shepherd dogs would be at the back making sure that the flock stayed where they were supposed to. David says that the shepherd dogs that follow us, their names are goodness and mercy. And if you look carefully at the psalm, you find yourself hemmed in on both sides by God. God is out front leading me, and His love and mercy are following me, pursuing after me. Everywhere I turn, God is there with His love and His mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David didn't fully understand what that meant. But he had that hope of resurrection beating in his bosom. It was the same hope that Job stated whenever he asked the question, if a man die, will he live again? David didn't fully understand the theology of the resurrection. That wasn't going to come for another 1,000 years. And Jesus was going to come and explain it and give it context, and the apostles were going to write about it. David just knew he had that hope in his bosom, and even though he didn't fully understand it, he said, I know somehow that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And thus closes the most well-known passage of Scripture in all the Word of God. The passage where David introduces us to the shepherd God of Israel, Jehovah Roi. The Lord is my shepherd. If you'd turn with me a moment to John chapter 10, I'd like to make a statement before I read this passage. as I have thought on the names of God and been studying the names of God, I don't believe that any of the Jehovah compounds that we're going to look at that are given in the Word of God have greater context, participation, personification than Jehovah Roi in the person and work of Jesus Christ. For he says about himself, I am the good shepherd. Listen to his words. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not only to take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from the Father. Jesus is Jehovah Roi, the Good Shepherd. He is the one who comes and says, I will shepherd your life. If you will listen to my voice and follow me, I will be your shepherd, and ultimately I'll lay my life down for you. And he did. Five times in this passage we just read, he said, I lay down my life. Five times. Verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and twice in 18, he says, I lay down my life. Now back to Psalm 23. The concluding assurance of David in Psalm 23 is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You cannot say that passage and mean it until you can say the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, the Lord is a shepherd, that's true. The Lord is the shepherd, that's also true. But until he is my shepherd, you cannot say with assurance that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Jesus came to be your shepherd. He came to offer himself as your shepherd of your life, to restore your soul to the presence of God. This morning, he offers himself. He says, I have laid down my life to prove I'll be your shepherd. This morning, would you respond and make him your shepherd? He is a shepherd. He is the shepherd. But most of all, he wants to be your shepherd. Would you come at his invitation and follow him right now while we stand together and sing?
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be,